stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Vindicta. This is episode 64. It's going to be an interview with Bob Griswold. Today's date, February 18th, 2022. Before we bring Bob on, we're going to talk about the sponsors real quick. If you need precious metals, please visit stevequayle.com. Look at the rising price of gas and the decreasing price of our dollar. Eventually, I don't think we'll recover from this, and I'm sure Bob has some insight on that. So please visit Steve's website. Try and get a little bit of gold and silver stationed at your house. If you don't own it physically, you don't own it, period. So whatever it is that you invest in, make sure that it's something that you can put back into your pocket if you have to. Next, we have Mountain State Survival, mountain-state-survival.com. Jeff's website, it's a small business. Patriot owned, and you know, we try to promote small business instead of giving back to the wealthy business moguls. Jeff's website should be a one-stop drop for a lot of your basic survival preparations needs. So visit his website. We also have ready-made resources with Bob's website, and we're gonna really discuss that here in a little while. So we'll save that, and then finally we have My Patriot Supply. If you're needing bulk items of food, also, you know, water purification, you can go to my website, AmericanVindictaShow.com. Go to the sponsors page. It's right there on the main page. Just scroll down, and you'll see the sponsors. If you click on the My Patriot Supply, it'll bring you straight to it, and everything that you buy gives me a 10% commission, and that helps me to run this show and to improve it to make it a better, more entertaining and informative show to all of you. So, that being said and out of the way, Bob, thank you for coming on with us today. Let's talk about Ukraine. What exactly is it that Ukraine has that Russia wants?
First of all, I want to say it's good to be here. I'm glad to support you. And I think people should help support you. Again, what you made the comment on local support or Patriot support versus going to big box stores and doing what you need to do, just giving you money to local people. You know, the national statistic is this: if I spend my money locally, if I take a dollar and go down to the family business and spend it, that dollar circulates 17 times within the community before it leaves it. That's a force multiplier of $17 for every dollar you spend in the community. So Dave, when they spend money with you, you spend it with another Patriot, you do this, it just builds us our cause instead of sending it to whatever mart, and it just goes out of the community immediately. So just encouragement that. But again, that's the national statistic. Spend a dollar locally, it's a force multiplier of 17. So, you know, I get it. I spend it at the local gas station that they take and spend it at the local grocery store. That's how it works. It's just saying that. But anyhow, with Ukraine and Russia, you know, we are really living in perilous times. You know, I approach history from a biblical perspective. I think that's really the only perspective. But also we have 6,000 years of historical evidence to look at to say, how do things go? If I do this, I mean, who said it? Mark Twain, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. So if I do this over and over again, and we have all this history all the way back to the ancient Assyrians, Egyptians, so forth, and everyone has done the same thing, and it ends up causing the same results. You know, what is it? Definition of a fool, somebody who does the same thing over and over again and expects a different result. I would say almost categorically, 100%, that we're headed down the same path that any empire has headed towards. We see the war cycle build. We see the war cycle right now on the precipice. And the only thing different about this war cycle is, we've had a lot of skirmishes since World War II, but you remember World War II ended with splitting atoms. That's how it ended. And so now, up till that point in history, 1945, You know, we fought with conventional type weapons. Even some of them were pretty dramatic, you know, explosions, but nothing equaled the atomic bomb. Was about 20,000 tons of TNT. Well, you know, today the Russians supposedly field a 5-megaton bomb. They might have a 100-megaton earthquake tsunami bomb. I think the biggest one we field is a couple hundred megaton. But and then we have biological, cyber war, all these things. So the next world war will be like anything humanity has ever seen. What did Einstein say? I don't know how World War III will be fought, but I know World War IV will be fought with sticks and rocks, because everything will be destroyed. So with that in mind, that's the perspective I have. And I go back to the book of James in the Bible, and it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. So really, it always goes back to the state. That's what the Bible, if you wanted to condense it, says follow the money. It's always a greed, a lust, a desire to have something that we don't have. And today, I don't think a lot of people realize what's in the Ukraine. I mean, this is a storehouse of wealth. And, you know, United States wants control of it, and the Soviet Union wants control of it, former Soviet Union wants control of it. Forgive me, I grew up in that era. It was the Soviet Union. I do slip from time to time. It's Russia. But let's just look at a few of the assets that Ukraine has, okay? First, in all of Europe, in uranium wars, okay? Second, in Europe, in titanium. Second, in magnesium. Second, in iron ore. Second in mercury reserves. Third place in gas, 22 trillion liters of gas. That's a lot of money. You know, just I'm not going to read it all, but coal, honey, sunflower oil, barley, potatoes, wheat, chickens. Ukraine can make enough food to feed 600 million people. That's just a few of the things.
Yeah, in World War II, it was the breadbasket for the Soviet Union, and that's why they wanted it so bad to keep it.
Yeah, and again, you know, Russia did experience the greatest population loss in World War II. They lost more than all the other nations combined, some state, or at least half. 20-some million people died of their population. Died, and they are white-knuckle scared of that ever happening again. So you know, there's a lot in play here right now, and I'm not a Russian apologist. I just understand the psychology of what they think. I mean, Putin's not a nice guy. He was head of the KGB. I mean, you know, he knows where all the bodies are hid. It's a geopolitical thing going on right now that all boils down to money. And you know, these politicians, this is what really gets me. You know, they are willing to send your children and my children spill their blood so they can enrich their coffers. And that's what the industrial war complex, you know, making money. They you know, if we get into the Ukraine and our politicians get in there, we make treaties with them, all of that wealth, trillions of dollars, parts of it are peeled off and given to our politicians. We saw Joe Biden do that. How much did he get? $1 billion or something? You know, and he actually threatened the Ukrainians. If you don't do this, we're going to cut the United States aid off from you. So it's all boils down to money, which is very dangerous because, you know, both sides need this stuff. They need these resources, this food, these minerals. You know, they want it and need it because, first of all, they know they can feed their populations with it. And as food resources on the planet diminish, populations growing, less food. I mean, you know, I read one time if the Chinese just ate one more egg each a piece every day, how much energy that takes to produce one more egg for, you know, a billion and a half people. It's an incredible amount of energy it takes to do that. So, you know, so as we see the populations increasing, you know, the diminishing resources, we're going to see more and more of this threats and geopolitical and confrontations between powers so that they can control those assets. And that's what we see going on right now. You know, there's supposedly right now Russia has launched, you know, artillery into there. There's been separate, some people say it's separatist, but up to 9,000 people they say have died in this skirmish. And I know Drudge, I was just reading Drudge right before, and I always like to read it because I do consider controlled opposition, but it says it's U.S. officials warn imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine with tanks, fighters, jets, and the biggest thing is cyber war. And I want to address that for a second. We all harp on nuclear war, okay? Quite frankly, you know, I'll give you a historical reference. Going into World War II, the battleship was king. That was the capital fighting element of every nation, a battleship. I mean, you know, Japan had the king of them all, 72,000 tons, the Mikashi and the Yamamoto, 72,000 tons. They were massive battleships. And so we went into World War II, and all of a sudden we figured those battleships aren't what they are because the aircraft carriers sunk them very easily. And so coming out of World War II, the aircraft carrier was the capital weapon of each nation. And now, you know, we've had nuclear weapons, but really the capital weapon today, we keep putting billions and billions of dollars into these aircraft carriers, which basically are sitting ducks. 6,000 people on board, $10 to $13 billion to build one. It takes, 7 to 10 years to build one. And plus, when they're destroyed, there's going to be that environmental contamination from the nuclear reactors, all that. But people they underestimate the power of what cyber war will do. I will tell you, it would be problematic, which would be worse. I mean, they shut down nuclear power plants and they can't cool the reactors. What happens? Good things. If they shut off the food service so that, you know, Piggly Wiggly doesn't get their food on time, or the truck doesn't go where it goes, they don't know where to go, the trains don't know where to go, what happens? Starvation, rioting. If they turn the water off, if they turn the electricity off, if they turn the communications off, which, excuse me, which goes into the fact that this is why I so push ham radio, because ham radio is the only non-networked system to communicate. It doesn't go through a relay. It doesn't go through a satellite. It goes from point A to point B. Even in what you consider high-frequency radio, that's 0 to 30 megahertz, that bounces off the ionosphere. It's hard to turn the ionosphere off. I don't know if they
How easy is it to buy a ham radio?
Oh, gosh, it's easy. And this, I want to point this out. Two things. People always want, I want the 5 billion watt ham radio, okay? I'm being a little hyperbole there. But, you know, just think, when I key that, everybody on the planet can hear me, okay? If you have like a 20, 30 acres, I want a half a watt. You know, I don't want that big power because I make a big footprint when I key that mic. And the other thing with ham radio is you can legally buy it. You can't legally transmit. But the purpose of radio is not to talk. The purpose of radio is to listen. I want to hear what you're talking about. You're giving me intel every time you talk. That intel is critically important. As I think I mentioned on the last program, you know, if I was talking about my wife and I said, my old lady, what does that mean to you, Doug? Oh, my old lady wants me home. What does that mean? That means I don't care anything about her. I'm waiting for a truck to run her over. But if I say my sweetheart wants me home, that means she might have a nice dinner plan for me, rip my feet, rub my back. You know, she cares about me. So that's a term of endearment versus the term of contempt. That's what listening does for you. If you go into a park and you saw two people beating each other up, you have raw intelligence there. I see two people beating each other up. Do I know why? No. But so if I go over to those two people beating each other up and I say, man, you know, you guys, you know, what's going on here? You know, I need to get intel. It might be a drug deal gone bad. You've seen that before. Have you seen a drug deal gone bad where people start shooting each other?
A couple times.
Have you ever been two people beating each other up where one guy was sleeping with the other guy's wife?
Once or twice.
Yeah, or somebody got cut off in traffic. So to know the intelligence of why that's happening is critically important. If you just run into that situation not knowing, that's why you're doing a domestic dispute. Cops don't pull up in front of your house. They pull down the block because they know how volatile that is. And then they walk in slowly, making sure that something doesn't go south on them. You know, radio is so important right now so that you can gain intelligence. You can listen to what what's going on in your area, and you can know, I mean, you can listen to what's going on in the world. You can know what's going on in your state and in your local community. It's critically important to have that right now. And then the ability, when it comes time, to talk with your friends or neighbors to say, listen, we need a network. We've got this happening, you know, or if there's a convoy of people coming off the interstate right now and they don't look good, you know, so you can alert your community. But it's always a community-based thing. It's always a person-based thing. It's not an individual-based thing. It's always, you know, I can't defend against, you know, 20 Hells Angels coming down on my property to raid people. I can't do it. I need a network to do it. So that's the plug for radio. I'm telling you, get it. It's critical. It'll be the only form of communication you have. An EMP would take out everything you cherish as far as communication. You can protect ham radios pretty easily, but, you know, it's hard to protect satellites. It's hard to protect ground communication things, networking. I remember when a tornado went through Teleco Plains. We lost our phone service for a week. Now, and they had a little town. They had 100 trucks down there rebuilding the place, and they got it back up pretty quickly. Kudos to them. But, I mean, in a real-life environment, how long would it take to rebuild that telephone station when you have 500 telephone stations down? 500 cell phone towers down.
And based off of a failing grid system that we have, and I've done extensive research on this, and if you look at an example that happened in Britain, they had a pipeline factory, a gas factory that blew up, and that was one of their main energy preserves. And it took them 4 months just to get that reinstalled. 4 months of no refrigeration, 4 months of no fresh food, 4 months of, you know, no cold milk, no way to really keep a lot of your medicine cold. You know, that really affects a lot that people don't understand just how quickly bacteria can grow in your food. And then once the bacteria grow in your food and you eat it and you become sick, you get dysentery or X, Y, and Z disease, then you need the medicine. But that medicine is also refrigerated. So the moment you take it out, you crack it open, it has a half-life. It has to be refrigerated and it only lasts for so long.
You know, I'd give this as a caveat. If you've lost refrigeration and you need to keep medicine cold and you have a well on your property, tie it down, drop it in that water. It might be 100 feet down, but it's 55 degrees, about the same temperature your refrigerator's at. Just have a string on it, be able to pull it up, pull it down, but that water is 55 degrees. You know, that's what root cellars were for so many years. You know, people, you dig into the ground 4 or 5 feet down, you're 55 degrees.
There's something my grandfather did one time, and you know, I'm from Southeast Texas, so us rednecks get a little inventive every now and then. And what he did was he actually dug a hole and put an old refrigerator in it.
Yeah,
I mean it keeps meat fresh. It's as surprising as it was.
It's I would call it a redneck root cellar.
Yeah. But it worked.
It does work. It does. 4 feet down is generally 55 degrees. So that's just a tip for somebody trying to keep medicines cold, because you do have to do it. I think flagyl. That's the name of the medicine for most waterborne disease. People will get cryptosporidium and giardia. That it's used to treat those types of things. And you can maybe get it now. You probably get it online. But I would have a dose of that on hand so that if I did get a waterborne disease, which I think if you look at the continuity of government plans, they admit that after 4 or 5 days into a crisis, waterborne disease is going to be the big thing that takes down a lot of people. I've known people. I've never had it, thank God. But my brother got it one time, and it was 2 weeks on the toilet bowl. Not to be crude, but that's what it was. And if you don't have the electrolytes to replace, if you don't have the ability to do that, you can literally die pooping your guts out. So yeah. Put it politely. Yeah,
whenever we would deploy to Iraq, that was one of the things that we were always told. Don't go out when you're out in the city or you're out on patrol. Don't eat the other people's food, because, you know, everything is different. And, you know, the way that they would cook their food was not what we would consider sanitary. And we would have guys, and I ate the food. I never had a problem. But we had guys who would eat that food, and, you know, it was contaminated in ways that's not I can't explain on the show, because a lot of it's disgusting. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to watch. Those guys suffer a lot. And if it wasn't for medicine, I mean, dehydration will get you next.
Yeah. You know, Right. I mean, dehydration is a horrible thing. And it actually, you know, once you dehydrate and your organs start to dehydrate, drinking water doesn't necessarily fix them because damage has been done. So you can't necessarily fix a dehydrated person with just water. They've actually suffered kidney damage, liver damage, and those kind of damages. So, but, you know, again, I've been to the Chinese meat markets. Flies fly all day. It's like, oh, my gosh, I would never eat that stuff. Those flies, every time they land, they're laying larvae on that meat, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
Hey, let's talk about Ukraine still. So we hit the middle and the resources. And obviously, that's a big thing geopolitically. You know, nations want to control resources. Obviously, Russia wants to control Ukraine because Crimea has a deep water port they need for their navy and their submarine fleet. And then you also have Ukraine as a whole is a breadbasket. It has a litany of resources needed for their military industrial complex. But here's one thing that I think is interesting based off this supposed artillery strike that hit a school. The other night I was researching this, and like I said, I'm on BBC and I'm looking at RT, Russia Times. I'm trying to gain as much information as possible to see what everyone is talking about. And there's really not much there because the after action, I think, wasn't even done yet. But immediately, I got in my spirit to get in my Bible and to look up Ezekiel 38. Now, we saw during the cusp of this, the day that the Biden administration said Russia was going to invade, Russia supposedly starts moving their forces back. So, egg on Biden's face for that one. But
yeah.
What I had in my mind was, what could make Russia turn back to reinvade? And it got put on my spirit, Ezekiel 38. Now, I'll read you from the... you can read the King James Version. I have the English Standard Version because words are hard, so it's easier for me to read this one. So it says in Ezekiel 38, verse 4, "And I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great host, all of them with buckler and shield, wielding swords." So it talks about some sort of event that will bring Russia back into a war zone. Now, Gog Magog is what we're basing this off of. And I'm not saying this is Armageddon. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think it's interesting how this scripture can literally be manifested in front of us. And me and Dave Hodges and you were talking about this whenever the whole artillery strike thing happened. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my Lord, Ezekiel 38, verse 4. And then it comes out, the artillery strike, and they're blaming Russia. Now they're blaming Russian-backed separatists of Ukraine. And it seems like there's an event, a false flag, or whatever it is that we want to call it, some sort of anomaly that happened that is approaching this next level of invasion, supposedly, from Russia. And this is what our officials are saying. And this, you know, this is the type of stuff that upsets me because no one knows the truth in our Ministry of Propaganda. Is definitely, you know, beating the war drums. This is from the head of the State Department, Blinken. So Blinken told the Security Council that Moscow appeared to be setting the stage. Russia plans to manufacture a pretext for its attack, a so-called terrorist bombing, or a fake or even a real attack with chemical weapons. He said this could be a violent event that Russia will blame on Ukraine, or an outrageous accusation that Russia will level against the Ukrainian government. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I mean, again, how do you catch fish? Bait. How do you catch rats? Bait. There's bait. Is 22 trillion cubic meters of natural gas a bait? I mean, is enough food to feed 600 million people a bait? Again, I go back to the book of James. Wars come from lust. That's where they come from. I want what you have. And, you know, I mean, you've been a law enforcement. How many times have you seen somebody, I'm going to kill you because I want your wife, your property, whatever they want. They, I mean, just crimes of passion. And, you know, there's oil, gas, whatever. I personally think that's what it'd be. And national prestige. I mean, Russia right now, this is the thing you have to understand. Russia right now has committed tremendous capital and wealth to how much does it take to move 150,000 people, the support mechanism for those 150,000 people, tanks, planes, all that, to a border, and then what are you going to do, back off? That's like drawing a line in the sand and say, I dare you to step over it, and then they do, and then you run.
Yeah, it's millions of dollars because not just to mobilize all that, but then you have to get the Jet A fuel and all the diesel that goes in it, and then the food. You know, an army can't march on an empty stomach. So the Russians have sat there on that Ukrainian border for a year. So that's a lot of sustained dollars rubles that are used to feed and house and then to keep everything running. That's millions and millions and millions of dollars to do that. So that's quite an investment just to turn around and say, okay, we're done. The military surprise is done.
How does that go politically with the Russian people? I mean, okay, yeah, we spent all this money. My son was away from the house for a year. He was away from his wife for a year. All the things, the dynamics that go in and go, okay, now we're just going to go home again. And we spent, you know, tens and tens of billions of dollars to do it. There's national prestige and pride involved. So we know that. We've all seen a fight that escalated and got brutal just because of pride. One guy didn't want to back down. So it could be that. And I think it'd be one of the two things. It'd be money. Money is always a hook that pulls people in. I mean, you know, you look at what draws people into, you know, crime. It's the thing of illicit profits. And, you know,
Is there an intelligence-based asset that Russia has in Ukraine also that they wouldn't want to let go? Because I know for a fact, and you can get online and look at it, there's 14 U.S. weapon biolabs in Ukraine. We know Hunter Biden got paid a lot of money through Burisma in Ukraine. So if Russia has already a tremendous amount invested in Ukraine and a lot of things start to be pulled away from their grasp, that's also another incentive as to why they want to take it and control it, right?
Well, exactly. Again, we go back to World War II. Russia wants to maintain that buffer zone to keep having, I mean, NATO just keeps surrounding them and surrounding, and they see this. I mean, it used to be NATO 10 countries, now it's like 20, and they just keep getting surrounded. I mean, if you go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, behind the scenes, the reason the Cuban Missile Crisis ended is because we had the Jupiter missiles in Turkey right on the Russian border, and the Russians said, well, we will go out of Cuba if you pull your missiles out of Turkey. And we knew that was a tit for tat. We couldn't do it because eventually that would lead to something else, and we would eventually end up giving away Germany. That's what that would have been. So behind the scenes, though, we agreed in 6 months or so to pull the Jupiter missiles out of Turkey. That's what de-escalated the whole situation. Kennedy played it. I mean, I have to give him kudos. He played it amazingly well. LeMay, Joint Chiefs, he wanted to go to war with the Russians. He wanted to end it all right there. And, you know, you and I probably wouldn't be here today if we'd had LeMay's way to do it. But, they want that buffer zone. They need it. And they feel threatened with a superpower on their border with all kinds of, you know, advanced weapons, listening posts, all these things that they have. So I understand their paranoia. Like I said, I'm not a Russian apologist. I'm not a Putin apologist. I understand the geopolitical nature of what's going on, though. And that's what it is. And so it could be that, the pride of it. It could be the money, the food, you know, the natural gas, all those resources that are there. We want to control them versus the Russians controlling them. We won't know exactly what it is until it happens. But, if when the nukes start flying, it won't matter if it's over wheat or gas or whatever. Nuclear weapons have been released. And so thousands of people have died or whatever. It won't matter why, it'll happen. And I do think it's at a precarious level right now. And this is the thing. So how does it affect us? Well, I mean, it's going to disrupt the commerce of the world. And so everything we get, I mean, the United States imports an incredible amount of raw material and just goods, you know, all of it. And so we already are experiencing, you know, dramatic inflation. I tell you, I read one time how to gain capital gains without paying tax on it. But so if I buy a pound of wheat today for a dollar and it goes to $2 tomorrow, if I sell it, I have to pay capital gains on that dollar. But if I eat it, I don't have to pay capital gains. So if you buy food today which we know it's going to go up in value. If you buy whatever today, it's going to go up in value because as soon as this happens, China is going to take this. That's the thing that we haven't brought into it. China is not even trying to exacerbate this. They're going to do everything they can to try to pick the fight. We all know the guy who loves to pick the fight between the two people and just watch them beat each other up, because at that point, China comes out as the dominant world power if we destroy each other.
Do you think China and Russia would ever – obviously, they're allies, but allies really for how long?
Yeah.
But do you think China and Russia would ever join forces, as in like a conglomerative collection of forces, to come against the United States? And based off the Chinese and Russian nuclear missiles, do we have a good chance of knocking any of those out of the sky before they hit the stratosphere and then they start to come back down into our area of operations?
Well, just keep in mind, if they detonate anywhere 300 miles above the atmosphere or not, you're going to take EMP. Out massive satellites. You're going to shut down electronics. So it doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to have a catastrophe no matter what. But the ideologies between China and Russia are dramatic. I mean, they might be allies in name only, but there's a lot of differences between the culture of Russia and the culture of China. And that's going to be hard to bridge. So they might, yes, they could, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That might be apply for a while, but eventually Russia and China are not going to get along, and they could go to war with each other just as well. You know, when we fought World War II, you know, we had an understanding of the Geneva Convention. We followed a set of rules concerning prisoners. I mean, there was always atrocities. You know, the one guy just shot the prisoner after he surrendered. But overall, when forces surrendered, the Geneva Convention was honored. China didn't do that. Japan didn't do that. The Bon Death March, they used people to death. So the mentality, the psychology of the Asian mind versus the Western mind of European, the way they look at things is different. So I think Russia-China alliance might be there for, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend temporarily, but overall it won't work. This is where the world's at right now. We are on a hair's breadth between something happening that's dramatic, and if for some reason, you know, it's all going to affect shipping. And once shipping is affected, we saw what happened when China, the shipping out of China because of COVID went down. We saw all the ships off the west coast of the United States just not being unloaded. We see empty shelves, skyrocketing food prices. Well, this is the baby steps. Wait till the giant steps happen, where massive amounts of goods don't come through. Not what happens is, it's just not you don't get it, but you don't have a job because there's nothing to sell. So right. Further exacerbates the economic problems, and that puts more dependence on government assistance. And the government eventually, I mean, how much money, where do they get $50 quadrillion to pay people? It's a domino effect. And this is why, you know, we do what we do. We tell people to get ready. I have to say this first and foremost. You know, I want the moral courage that God gives me to stand firm in this day. I want to be able to say, I'm going to do what's right no matter what the cost, even if it costs me my life. I want to do what's right. I'm not a violent person. I don't want to engage in violence. That's the last resort. I want to try to find a way out of it without violence. Second of all, I want to surround myself with people of valor. Not you know, girly boy people. I want people of valor who will encourage me, strengthen me, stand up. I have some very good friends. All of them are, Marines and Army and Green Berets. And we encourage one another as we see the day approach. And then the third thing is, you better have resources on hand, because I tell you this absolute certainty, the day of going down and getting what you want is we see it coming to an end right now. You know, I was picking up a Subway the other day for my son. I was coming home and he wanted it because he was working. He works for me. He's my general sales manager now. And, you know, I went there. He said, oh, Dad, I wanted some Lay's potato chips. They didn't have any. I said, well, you know, I always play coy. Well, why don't you have them? They go, I don't know. We didn't get any. They're not available. So we're seeing the baby steps of shortages right now, and that's what this is. But I'm telling you, there's coming giant steps coming where you won't get what you want. And once that happens, then rationing comes in. World War II, you had your butter, you had your coupons, you couldn't get tires, you had to pay gas. I mean, it's all rationed. And with digital currency, it's going to become very easy to ration because it'll be all electronic. You know, when they scan that stuff and you pay with your digital currency, they'll know you bought your pound of wheat for the month. So, I mean, now's the time to do it. And I cannot emphasize that enough. It's just not that I'm trying to sell stuff. You're trying to sell stuff. Doug, Bob, speaking to myself, it is the way our businesses make money. We do sell things to people, and that provides for our families. But it's not – we have a passion about it because we know history. We know what's coming. I know reading the Bible, God always uses famine to bring judgment on a people. Always. Yep. Always. It's read Deuteronomy 28. It talks about when you forsake the Lord your God, this is what will happen. One of the things it is, your borders are compromised. Are our borders compromised? Your food,
absolutely.
Your families will be broken apart. That doesn't happen in the United States. Your children will be carried off. I mean, look at the pedophilia. We are under that judgment. And so I promise you that famine and deprivation are coming to our country. That's why I say get ready. And then we see that in Canada, just to bring this in, the trucker strikes. What happens if the United States has a trucker strike and 10,000 trucks clog the highways? You know, the government can threaten them all at once, but, you know, those truckers are taking their wheels off. People are camping tents. I mean, it's almost to the point where you would need the military. I think the military is the only one that could clear out 10,000 tanks. I mean, 10,000 trucks that have just stopped, people camping out. And you know, how good would that look when it gets on TV of American soldiers shooting people protesting? Why the hell didn't you do it in Washington or Oregon when they were burning down federal buildings?
Well, Canada's new form of dictatorship that they have right now with the Emergencies Act that Trudeau enacted. All right, we're circling. We'll use Jen Psaki's quote. We're circling back to pre-World War II context, and we have Trudeau who is labeling populations of his citizens as useless eaters, as racists, as bigots. You know, transphobia, homophobia, whatever it is that he thinks is the most prominent view of the day to save his skin. But at the end of the day, what this man did is he turned himself into a dictator.
Absolutely.
Overnight, because a peaceful demonstration scared them.
Hitler was democratically elected, but it took the combined forces of military of the Western allies to take that out of power. They say you can vote yourself into communism, but you have to shoot your way out.
Right.
That's what it is.
What's the black book of communism you're talking about?
You just go on Amazon, you can find it. The black book of communism. It talks about all the atrocities that collective thinking, all the way back to Jamestown. Jamestown was originally, that's the first permanent colony in the New World. That was formed as a collectivist society, and it catastrophically failed. It was only after they put a new governor in and said, listen, we're going to give everybody a certain amount of property, and you get to keep what you make. Then it thrived. So wherever we see this collective mentality, you're going to have colossal failure, envy, jealousy, violence, all of it. And that's what these people want. Keep in mind, the reason I'm such against violence, I mean, I'll defend my family. If you come to my wife, I will mow you down. But violence for violence sake, that's what they do. That's what they want me to do. And I'm not going to do it. I will use violence to protect my family. But somebody asked me, you know, if I had to shoot Adolf Hitler, would I do it? Sure, I would do it. But it's not something I'm going to rejoice in. I would not get on TV like Hillary the crone Clinton did and say, yeah, we came, we saw, we killed them. This demonic cackle that she gave after talking about murdering somebody. I just can't get into that violence like they get into the violence.
What's the best defense when it comes to the individual patriot? Now, we're not promoting civil war. We're saying it's an eventuality, okay? What's the best defense for the patriot? Because we have our sidearms, we have our primary weapon systems, our rifles and our shotguns, we have our body armor, We have our ballistic helmets. Don't get the bump helmets. Get a ballistic helmet. You have good shoes. You have good uniforms. You have good training. You have good health. You cannot be 400 pounds overweight as a type 2 diabetic with a heart condition and then expect to join the war. That's not going to happen. You need to be in very, very, very good shape for that. But the other thing is owning the night. The way we fight war now, especially within the U.S. Armed Forces, is we own the night. That's through our technology, through night vision. And Bob, you sell night vision. What is the importance of night vision for the American patriot? Because when prophecy hits the fan, the power goes out, Russia and China has invaded, the country is completely turned into turmoil. You're not going to be going out during the day.
When do bad people do stuff?
At night.
I mean, I've ridden with enough police officers. My best friend's a police officer, and I rode with him many, many, many times. You know, during the day, it's relatively quiet. You might have some breaking and entering some people at work, but you want to get the hardcore stuff, it happens at night. And you know, that's when the vampires come out. That's when all the bad stuff happens. Owning the night is critical. That's why the United States military plans operations at night. When did we attack bin Laden? At night. I mean, all these, you look, that's when they do the ops, at night. Because you can't see, you know, with modern night vision, I will tell you the night vision people can buy today is probably better than what the military gets. It's at least on par with it. It's incredible how good it is. That's all I can tell you. Being able to see people walk around hundreds of yards away gives you such a distinct advantage. And also on top of that, that's why I mentioned radio. I was watching a YouTube video on the Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 5 when they went into Ramadi. And people asked him, what was your most powerful weapon? And he goes, my radio. I mean, with my radio, I can network. Now, you marry radio and night vision together, two people with radios and two people with night vision, you can do a flanking thing. And as they say, I have to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, you know, because it's going to give you such overwhelming odds. Now, we don't do that to perpetrate, you know, I'm going to go steal everybody's stuff. We do that for the protection of our communities. You know, I will use the techniques and tactics I know and with other friends to protect my community. I'm going to protect the old lady from being robbed. That's what we do. We network for our community and we protect our community. The ability to maybe procure clean water. You know, my thing is I know my community will be important and I want to protect it, but there's nothing that will give you the distinct advantage that night vision will give you. That's why we offer it. We have it in stock. A lot of people do not have it in stock because it's in such high demand. It is expensive. We do offer financing on it. So you can go to the website and click check when you go click out, pay over time, and you can make payments on it. So that becomes a lot more affordable. But Doug, I will tell you that we have people come out to our store, and we sometimes let them come out at night so they can look at it. And the first thing they always do is go, oh, my gosh, you've used it. I know what it does. I put an infrared aiming laser on my weapon, and I have a 200-yard range on my property and with an 8-inch piece of steel down at 200 yards, and I can hit that 8-inch piece of steel from 200 yards away on a very dark night. You know, there's nothing 100%, but 95%+. I can hit that 8-inch piece of steel at night when you can't even see your hand in front of your face.
But there's there's also techniques for using infrared lasers as communication between teams as well. We're not going to go into that too much, but that ability is there. But if you pair a good night vision, let's say, you know, you have your base camp, your compound, whatever it is that you want to call it. For defensive measures, seeing your perimeter, your exterior perimeter, and then you have your guys who are on exterior perimeter patrols, that way you can see who is out there that's your good guys, because, you know, if they have IR patches or if they have, you know, a certain markings on them that you know that's your guys, and then you see another group of people coming up, you know, all loaded down in tactical gear, and, you know, they're not using the code words, they're not using the running commands, they don't have the proper attire on, you'll be able to see that. But there's another element in there as well, which is thermal. Can you talk about thermal?
Well, we do a force-on-force class, and, you know, on an extremely dark night, we have basically 20 people, and they divide into two 10-man teams. One team goes in and beds somewhere in the woods, and the last time we did it, it was extremely cloudy, foggy, raining, You know, and this other team went and embedded well. And we were walking down what's called a jungle lane, just looking. And Jamie Walden was leading our, you know, Jamie, he was leading our patrol. And so he stops and says, Bob, let's pull up the thermal. And we pulled the thermal out, and man, they were there. It was difficult to see them with night vision because they buried themselves with leaves and all this other stuff. They did a really good job. But I pulled that thermal unit out, and there they were. And Jamie's, you know, combat tactics took over, and he split our team into 2 5-man teams, and he sent one of them up to a flanking maneuver. And it was live fire. We were using blanks, but blank firing adapters on the weapons. And I mean, Jamie drew the fire, and the other team just, I mean, wiped them out. So you have thermal and night vision. I'm telling you what is coming. And I want to say this. When these people come, they're not going to be just stealing your food. You got little girls. You and I have been all over the world. I've been in over 40 countries. I'm telling you, stealing the females is huge. It's huge. We don't realize how huge that is. Even old grandma. They'll steal them all, but the little girls, the pretty women, that's why I always tell these girls who, you know, do the butt shots with their camera at the gym, you better be careful because people are profiling that. They're profiling, and believe me, when the poop hits the fan, oh, they're going to remember Janie posted butt pictures. You know, Janie's pretty good looking. You know, I don't want to get into too much detail, but guys are guys. But, you know, night vision. And the other thing I can do with night vision is, you know, after 2 to 3 days, you know, somebody comes to your house and they have night vision and they pop a few rounds into your house. It doesn't matter if they hit anybody or not. Are you going to sleep that night, Doug? No, you're going to stay awake. The other guy can go off, go take 3 or 4 hours worth of sleep, eat, do what he needs to, come back and pop. You're going to think the boogeyman's out there all night long. Well, if I do that to you for 2 to 3 days, I've had sleep deprivation done to me, and I'm telling you, it's torture. It really is torture when you've been deprived of sleep. You fantasize about a bed. That's all you want to do is lay down and get some Z's, and so you start making bad decisions. I have been in places where I had to keep my mind together pretty tight, and I feel the brain drift. You know, I have to just focus and focus and focus because when you get that fatigue on you, your brain just starts drifting away. And, you know, 2 or 3 days of that, you're going to make some serious mistakes. Now, if you have night vision, you can look out and say, well, right now they're not good. I'm going to go catch some Z's, give the night vision off to somebody else. So you have parity there. Also, if you have it, you can do a roving patrol around your property and just make sure there are, you know, if you have 20, 30 acres or whatever, you have a neighborhood, you can do a roving patrol on a neighborhood. Almost people go, well, I live in a city. Not anymore. You won't have a license in the city. All it takes is somebody to shoot a transformer and you're it's done. And then I want to address the other thing too. You know, well, I'm just going to shine a flashlight in your eyes and blind you. Stop watching Hollywood. It doesn't do that. Auto-gated night vision, it shunts itself down so that light doesn't bother it that much anymore. I mean, I don't want to go point it at the sun or anything, but that's a total fabrication that, you know, shining a flashlight, somebody's going to blind them. It doesn't do that at all. You're going to still see, and when you turn that flashlight on, oh my gosh, you have just said, you know, you might as well have a big whistle blowing it because everybody's going to know where you're at with night vision. That's not a good thing. You don't want that. You don't want that going on because, you know, you're going to attract things that you don't want to attract, high velocity lead poisoning.
Yeah, and you also silhouette yourself. You know, it's techniques in law enforcement that we do. You know, most of us have lights on our pistols, but that's really for a searching method. But, you know, if you're going to shine a light, you typically want to keep it away from your body because, you know, there's a little bit of a statistic there. People aim for guns when they shoot at you. People aim for flashlights when you shine them. And you create a large target for everyone to see.
There's a way you walk through the woods, you learn, because it's light and sound discipline. You want those two things. You know, I don't want – that's why do you use an earbud and a throat mic? Because I can talk like this. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can talk real quiet. And then you talk back to me. You know, the guy 100 feet away isn't going to hear that.
Yeah.
It's sound discipline.
And we're recording. 1, 2, 3. All right, sorry for that. We had a little bit of a communication problem. Bob, pick back up where you started.
Well, you talked about fear porn. I tell our politicians have spent trillions on fear porn, meaning that they have built themselves bunkers. They have, you know, all these food resources, water resources, communication resources available to them. Continuity of government has spent trillions of dollars doing it. Some of them even say that they have women that will come down there with them to keep them company. I mean, this is all our tax dollars, but they've done it with our tax dollars. But when you do it, they say you're a conspiracy theorist, whatever. So, I mean, you know, do as I say, not as I do. That's their philosophy. I tell people right now, I would say with mathematical certainty, according to the scripture, we're facing a horrible judgment in this nation. You can choose or not choose to get ready. You know, when I read the Bible, there's the parable of 10 virgins. The virgins, you know, the five foolish, five wise. Doug, did the five wise share their oil with the five foolish ones? No. They told them, go get your own. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'll never share with anybody, but I'm just saying I'm not going to share to the detriment of my family. So no, because
that makes a societal complex then, because the complexity of preparing is you can prepare for yourself, but when your neighbors didn't prepare and you live in a thicket neighborhood, and they know that, hey, your lights are on because of solar power. I'm smelling bacon being cooked in your house because you stored up for food. Can me and my family share? And you may do it a couple times, but then when, you know, your rations start to get short, they keep coming back because they didn't prepare. And then they spread that to other people, and then other people start showing up. And pretty soon, either you're fighting for your resources or you're out of resources.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what would happen. So, you know, just keep it. I mean, the government doesn't talk about all their bunkers they've built. They keep that on the QT. So you pretty much do the same. So that's why, you know, be careful. Don't tell people, you know, use a little gray man philosophy on doing it. But again, we are headed towards deprivation in this nation, like I probably say we haven't seen since the Civil War, probably worse than that, because everybody's dependent on electricity, water, communication, all the stuff that modern technology gives us. They didn't have that in the Civil War. You know, what I tell people all the time, too, is about heat. You know, we don't think about heat. If you live in a city, how are you going to heat your home? You're not going to live in a frigid home very long. You can't dress and keep warm that long. And your hypothermia is going to set in, and it's not good things. How are you going to boil water? You know, I tell people to build an alcohol stove. You can do it really easy. I have a video on my Ready Made Resources YouTube channel showing you how to build an alcohol stove for just a few bucks. You can keep a small room warm with that above freezing. You might not, you know, be basking in the sun, but you'll be able to keep it warm. You better do some cooking. You better go get ice and melt it. And you can make alcohol stoves fairly cheap. And the nice thing is there's no carbon monoxide. You know, you do charcoal inside your house and you're going to be visiting the pearly gates.
Yeah. What would you, and we only have about 3 minutes left. Where can people go to get your information, and what do you think is the, I guess, top three most important things that people should have right now on hand?
Okay, food, water. That's obvious. You have to eat. The government will use food to coerce you. You want a clean water so you don't get sick. And then I would say the next three things are firearms, night vision, and communication. I mean, they're just critical. Everybody has a firearm, but the night vision and communication, anybody, talk to anybody who's in SF. My son was in JSOC. My other son was a Marine. Ask them, how important was night vision in comms to you? They're going to tell you. It was absolutely essential. And when this thing hits, your ability to communicate, listen, is going to be essential. Your ability to operate at night is going to be essential. Now, there are next things down from that would be if you have medical needs, make sure you have medicine. I would go to the store and buy triple antibiotics, Band-Aids. You know, we do sell advanced medical stuff like Celox, Tromadex, all that stop major bleeding. You know, you can suture people up. You want to have those kind of things available to you. Most people don't understand the number one cause of death, like in the 18th century, was not childbirth, which a lot of people think it was. It was burns, because they were using open fire, they were using lard, and their clothes were made out of linen. You know what a dust-initiated explosion is? They were using flour. You know, blow themselves up, burn themselves up. So those are things that you want to have take into consideration. I also tell people, if you plan on using an open fire at all, propane, whatever, make sure you have multiple fire extinguishers on hand. So if it gets away from you, you can put that fire out. And the fire extinguishers don't cost that much. I've got them everywhere in my property because I've seen what fire can do. It burn you out. Yep. And you know, just so be a fire suppression.
All right. And where can people go to get your resources from?
ReadyMadeResources.com. That's ReadyMade Resources, all one word, standardspelling.com. My phone number is 800-627-3809. We do have next day shipping on radios and night vision. So you order it tomorrow, you get it the next day. Well, not over the weekend, but you know what I mean. So 800-627-3809. If you live in eastern Tennessee nearby, you can come by and I'll let you even look through a pair. Very nice. You have to be an American citizen to buy it, and you cannot take this stuff out of the country for any reason whatsoever, or you won't have to worry about your food. The government will be providing it for you, if you know what I mean.
Well, Bob, this has been fun, man. This has been a lot of fun. We've talked about Ukraine, Russia, China, Canada, the U.S. We've talked about spiking oil prices and the necessity for having proper tactical gear and night vision. You know, I think we need to keep doing this at least every week. It's a good way to keep reminding people, keep pounding them in the head that you need to keep preparing. And there are better assets out there for you to get. And, you know, Bob Griswold is one of the best assets that you can get for a survival tool, because he can also tell you how to properly prepare for your own environment based off of your locale. Bob, that's all we have right now, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This is Doug Thornton and Bob Griswold. American Vindicta, we're out.
God bless. Thank you.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.